Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Self-Stove Institute radio show. This is David Wolf here in Alachua, Florida, in the Sofitove studios with Marie Glashine at the controls. I'm here with our special guest from overseas, Mr. Duncan Knowles. We're here with Duncan Knowles here in the Sofitove radio show. Welcome, Duncan.
Hi, David. Nice to see you. Nice to be here.
Welcome to the Sofitove radio show. And I think our listeners will be interested to hear what brings you to North Florida from London, England.
Okay, so that's quite a big question, so I'll try and summarize it. So we met in 2009 in Switzerland, and I took and that's where I took the foundational and advanced seminar which Sofitove offers, and that was a pretty big experience for me. So although I felt my life was working quite well, I realized halfway through the seminar that it wasn't working so well, and through the seminar I really realized a lot about what was going on for me, and I left feeling a lot clearer about my life. And then we met up again in that summer, where I came to Switzerland again and I participated again in seminars, and that gave me a different experience. That deepened my understanding about myself, I feel. And then we've intermittently had a bit of coaching, but I haven't been so good at keeping that up. But about 6 months ago, I felt that my life wasn't going so well again, and I had a relationship that was not working, and I'd been wanting to connect with you again anyway, and there was some talk of coming to help you in Switzerland, but those courses didn't happen. So I just thought, well, let's see if there's an opportunity to come to Alachua. And it turns out that your Sita and Abby, your children, were away on bus tours, so you very kindly offered to host me, and so I got the ticket, and here I am.
Thank you, Duncan. Thank you, Duncan. Yes, and so you were here with us in assisting in the foundational and advanced seminars. And I know, like, even just before our show, we've been conversing, having stimulating conversations about spiritual topics. Sofitove Institute, it starts with a spiritually based personal and group transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. And what's that mean for you? What's that mean for you, the spiritual essence or the spiritual basis of transformation, of growth? How's that alive and vital for you?
Well, I think what I experienced in my own seminars, and I took seminars myself, was that who I really am, if you like, my essence, something which is not subject to change, other than my thoughts and feelings, which are subject to change, I realized in some way that that was covered over, that was... that some of that had been lost, that I wasn't living my life to my highest purpose. I wasn't. I was feeling sometimes unworthy, sometimes lacking courage, lacking power. Lots of qualities that I was lacking. But I realized as we worked through the seminar, I don't want to give too much away because some of your listeners may not have taken the seminar. But I realized when we worked through some of the processes on the seminar, the advanced seminar particularly, that I was creating that block between who I really am and the stuff that was stopping me connecting to who I really am. I don't know if that's really answered your question. Do you want to?
Well, for me, it does very much resonate with the question and self-realization and spiritual realization, and that's what I'm hearing, that through your personal growth experience in the Safa Tov programs, that you realized how, well, much of the way you're presenting yourself to the world is perhaps not authentic, not consistent with your core identity, that eternal self, and is more based on maybe a temporary facade. Again, in a recent program, we quoted Saint Francis, who said, "What we're looking for is what is looking." And so, what I'm hearing in your comments, Duncan, is that more and more through your experiences in Safa Tov programs, that you're realizing, what is this person that's looking?
Yes, something that's coming to mind as you were speaking is this idea of service. I went to hear someone speak just in the lecture the other day, and he was talking about knowing about God and knowing God, and they're two quite different things. I feel I know quite a lot about God, but I'm looking to see if I can know God. I don't know where I am on that. We've talked a lot about this privately. The difference between an impersonal God. I mean, the ocean can be an impersonal God.
Yes.
Buddhism can be an Taoism. There's so many, a lot of Eastern traditions can be an impersonal God. Zen Buddhism, where at the center of it there's nothingness. That's pretty impersonal. That's about as impersonal as it gets, I guess. And then we've talked about the super soul, knowing God in your heart. And that's something that I feel through service and through the Safa Tov community. I think I already had those feelings in my heart for all my life, but I'm getting clearer what that is. I'm beginning to find that if I really give service, that false ego, the ego, I mean, I know you refer to it as the false ego, which is a good word for it, because ego is a necessary thing in the right place. It sits in the right place. It's when it's inflated or deflated that it's not good for us. But I'm noticing how if I really give service, the false ego moves to a better place. And I think, I'm in this Alachua community. I've been here for about 3 weeks now, and I was planning to leave yesterday, but luckily or unfortunately, I popped my calf muscle, so here I am. And I didn't really want to leave. I'm feeling like by osmosis I'm beginning to sort of feel a bit more connected, and I feel I'm on a journey. Maybe this journey will take me to be more clear about a personal God. But I know that I don't think I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be, that's it. It's sort of with me, it's the wheels are turning, and they're turning at a certain speed. And, you know, I'm 43, I've thought of quite a lot about these things over the years, and I've intellectually found a way not to believe. So I'm just trying to put all that aside and just, I'm sort of rambling now in a different direction, but I suppose what I'm really saying is I'm finding that the more I give to other people, the more I find that love in my heart, and the more rewarding that is. And the more the sort of flow happens, and the more things come back to me, which is not really how I've lived my life up until now. Well, up until it was all
fairly recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gradual process. I see myself in my younger life as being, I was an actor, and I still think of myself as an actor, but I'm not really acting. I mean, you've seen evidence of that. but I see myself, I was manipulative, I was selfish. I got caught up in that kind of business where I thought to get on I had to be those things, and those things really, those qualities really covered who I really am. And I'm really enjoying not having those qualities, being those qualities, But I sometimes find, and we've talked about this as well, even when I feel I'm connecting to something more truthful and divine, if you like, and my essence, there's still a voice that reminds me, you used to be like that, so perhaps you're still manipulating. It's funny how that voice still is there. We spoke about that again. I used the analogy of playing golf, because I used to play golf. I still do play golf. When I first started having lessons, my range of error was quite big. But as I improved, my errors were much smaller. But as I stood over the golf ball, in my mind, I thought I was still going to hit a bad shot, even though the evidence was I wasn't.
So you experience yourself living from an increasingly deeper, authentic place, from that, from the core, from your soul, from your genuine ego rather than false ego. At the same time, you know you have a history of being maybe slippery and manipulative and like that, and so you have some doubt. You're sometimes not sure how authentic you're being because you're so used to having a wide range of error.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I look at some people on the course that I just staffed on, which you facilitated, and there were some amazing people on the course, and some of them, 23, young people, 20 years younger than me, they seem such good spirits already, and there was some admiration towards me. From one or two people, which is nice. That's not that I'm looking for that, but that is, I'm shocked when that comes, really, because I think you're already so clean and so sort of pure, and you haven't had to go through all this stuff that I went through. So I'm always going to have that with me, the fact that how I used to be and what I'm trying to be. I wish I'd got there like you. I mean, not necessarily you, but you probably did as well, but like some of the people on the course. And that's sort of in my mind all the time. That chatter may go one day.
I appreciate your vulnerability, Duncan. And I'm hearing, okay, you might receive their appreciation and admiration. At the same time, you might have some healthy envy. That's like, there they are, 20 years old, and so clean in their spirit and pure in their spirit and taking advantage of this opportunity for such quantum jumps of growth and self-realization. And just so clean and straightforward, and you're thinking, wow, you didn't have that perhaps a quality of clean character at their age, and you're admiring, or again in a healthy way, envying them for that.
Yeah, and at the same time, I recognize that perhaps because I did have that, it gives me a really useful, not unique, but unique to me, way of understanding and helping people. So on the one hand, I think it qualifies me to be quite a good teacher, because I can really, it's like when I help actors back in London, and I work with actors, I know the process of creativity that helps create a role. I struggled to learn to do that. And in that struggle, that's how I really learned how to do it. Now, some people can just do it. That doesn't always make them very good teachers, because they don't understand the struggle that the person's going through. So on the one hand, I envy them. On the other hand, I think, well, maybe that was the right path for me, because here I am, and actually I think I understand the struggle.
And so what you've gone through, what you've went through, in your process of self-awareness and seeing your self-deceptions and your endeavors to deceive others and what you've gone through, that in a sense, that qualifies you to be perhaps deeply empathic with others in their process of authenticity.
I think it qualifies me for something. I hope it's empathy, and maybe it will become more deeply empathetic. Yes, I think when I'm connected to my power, it qualifies me for something. I almost think it's I almost think it's for other people to say whether it's what it is. Otherwise, I feel like I'm saying what I am. And you know, it's like someone said to me once when I was in my theatre school in London, you know, oh, are you spiritual? This was one of my 18-year-old students. Are you spiritual? And I thought, well, do you know what? I can't really answer that question. I think it's for you to... You know, I'm interested in spiritual things, but am I spiritual? It's almost for the other person to say.
That's for others to determine how they're experiencing us.
Yeah. I sort of think, if I say, oh yeah, I'm really spiritual, I don't feel comfortable with that. Equally, like, oh, are you inspiring? Well, I don't know. If they say, oh, that was really inspiring, it's, oh, okay. Well, I guess that was inspiring then. You know, it's sort of for other people to say those things. That's how I feel.
I appreciate that. Also, I appreciated what I consider a very powerful and profound distinction you indicated earlier. And that's the distinction, you said that distinction between knowing about God and knowing God. And that can go for any of us, right? Like that it's, someone can want to know about me, or they can want to know me. I can want to know about someone, or I can really want to know someone. And so, just like any person in this world, first we hear about them, generally, the general process is, we hear about them. Oh, this person did this, and they did this amazing thing, and they had this... such humble quality, such a sweet quality, such a powerful, we hear about them. And then naturally, we develop a desire to know them. And so similarly, I'm hearing that in your process of self-realization and God-realization, you're hearing more and more about God, and you're developing more and more of a desire to not just know about God, to know God personally. And also I'm hearing an awakening that as you awaken to want to know God personally, it would be kind of disappointing to find out that the sum total of God is nothing.
Wow. I should reflect that back, shouldn't I, to make sure I've understood that. But yes, I see what you're saying. Okay, so I'll try and answer that question in a roundabout way, I think. So when I arrived in Florida, I was here. We did the foundational course, and then everything was new. So, you know, I was in Florida, hadn't met Marie, hadn't met anybody. I was driving a different car on the right side of the road, in a different house. You know, I had no bearings, and I was feeling quite uncomfortable for a day or two. And I got the chance to go to borrow a car and go to St. Augustine for a night. And I thought, you know what, I need to go to the ocean. So I know the ocean. The ocean is cleansing. It soaks up my negative energy. It's like a god. It's kind of part of the universe. It feels like it's part of the whole thing.
It's like an impersonal representation of the Supreme.
Yeah. And so I swam and I felt great. I felt relieved. I felt I was back on track. And so then I came back. So I suppose in my life I've always felt that the universe, I feel like we connect to the universe. But that's rather impersonal. What's at the center of the universe? Is it an impersonal God? I feel love in my heart. I understand I wasn't familiar with this phrase, but I now understand, I think, a little bit more about what the super soul is, God in the heart. I've always felt that since I was a child. And now I want to see if that can grow through acquaintance, I agree, through familiarization, through slowly osmosis, being with people, chanting, to see if that can grow into something more personal. And yes, I guess that would be to find at the center of these center there's something more personal would be slightly more attractive than nothingness. But of course, a Zen Buddhist master would say that at the center of everything is nothingness. So there are all these different paths, and I am a seeker, and I'm not going to stop. I want to get to the highest path.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it's going to come as a blinding light. This is it. I think it's just going to gradually seep into my consciousness, and I'm going to grow to love God or grow to know God. I am inspired. You know, I don't want to talk a lot about this, but we've talked a lot about one of my great icons is Bob Dylan. And of course, he found God late 70s, and he wrote a few albums, Slow Train Coming, and
You Gotta Serve Somebody,
yeah.
Famous song.
Yeah, and Slow Train Coming, and there was a song called Ring Them Bells on Oh Mercy, another album 10 years later. When I listen to those songs, they move me.
They move you with the spirit of God.
They do. In a very personal way. And I'm moved by his passion and his vulnerability. And that's when I feel God in my heart. I feel God in my heart a lot. And I sometimes feel myself welling up, you know, listening to that kind of music. And it's just now that conflict between that and then going to the next stage, I guess. It's a slight conflict because there's my brain, there's my intellectual brain working at one level, and there's my heart working at another level. I think it's about trusting my heart more.
Mm.
These are complicated things to discuss. I'm not completely clear. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear. But that's my best answer for now. I don't know what you make of that, David.
Well,
it is complicated. At the same time, I hear that you're approaching this complicated matter with healthy simplicity, and that in your just this morning, actually, a few of us who are reading in a book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, about how it's a gradual process, and that you're appreciating that. You're not using that as an excuse to be complacent in your process of self-realization. At the same time, it's a gradual process, and so not that God can't reveal himself with a bolt of lightning. Still, the general process is that through inquiry and service, we gradually realize more and more about self and distinction between spirit and matter and the different aspects. And again, I guess my perspective is there's not a conflict between, let's say, the impersonal aspect of God and the super soul within the heart, God within the heart, and the personality of Godhead, that they're different aspects of God realization, and they all naturally synergize and integrate. And at the same time, we can say there's a hierarchy in the sense of intimacy, that to the extent that we know the personality of Godhead, that we know God, not just about his energies, then we are capable, then we open up, develop a more intimate relationship with the Supreme. Just like someone might know you through your energies. Let's say you produced a film, or there's a video of a theater production, maybe you performed Hamlet or something. So that's like your energies. And someone could watch that, and they'll get to know something about you. They'll get to know something about you. Or even someone can learn something about your energies, your financial situation, or something like that. At the same time, to know you more intimately, it's to get to know you as a person directly, one-on-one. We have a few minutes remaining, Duncan, and I think maybe our listeners will be interested if you'd like to say a bit more about how your training and experience in acting, and that my understanding is also as a trainer of actors, how that has facilitated your process of self-realization, and maybe how it's gotten in the way of it.
Okay, so I trained as an actor. I started training as an actor when I was about 21, but at the same time, I discovered a technique called the Alexander technique, and it was during my first few lessons of Alexander's technique that I really had an experience of what acting was, Up until then, I thought acting was doing something, which I think what most people think it is. Acting is almost the wrong word. It should be non-acting.
Mm-hmm.
Being, really, it should be being. And I had that experience pretty early on, and that was profound. And then I acted for about 8-10 years, and then it didn't become something I could continue for lots of reasons. I was very unhappy. I felt my confidence. It's a very tough business. You have to be pretty strong to survive it. And I wasn't in the right place. On the other hand, I don't think of myself as a victim. I was responsible for that. I could have changed it. I'm clear about that now. But all of that work that I did, all of those experiences of, because when you're acting, you are being with the other actor. If you're not being with the other actor, then you're not acting. So acting is really reacting. Acting is really reacting. And being with the world is really reacting, being with the universe. We can't control it, but we can be with it. And the Alexander technique also is a method I think allows me to be in that place. And so I really continue to pursue that. Having said that, the Sapotov workshops that I've taken really allow me to connect not only with that being in that place, but being in that place without all the emotional baggage. And that was really powerful for me. And that's really where I want to take my acting now. I'm interested in acting again. But it's from a place of being without all this clutter. And I experience it in myself as powerful and connected with my super soul. And my experience, the feedback I've got, is also that it's very powerful. And that's really what I'm interested in connecting with. And that's another reason why I want to go further with the work that you do, and Marie does, and Sapotov does, because those two or three experiences I had specifically in the seminars have allowed me to be clear about what it is I want. I feel to gain mastery of anything, you need to keep repeating those experiences. Mm-hmm. So you get comfortable with it, and you get the response that people appreciate it, and then you can take it to a wider audience. So for me, it's building myself back up into a place where I'm really whole, coming from my essence, and being authentic, and not worrying what people think, because actually I'm serving. I'm in a place of service. If they don't get it, they don't get it.
I haven't really answered
your question completely, but anyway, in a roundabout way. So let me just finish. All those qualities, I guess, have helped me, I think. I've got very good observational qualities. I feel I can really see what's happening. In a room, I don't really miss much. I see every little thing, and it's kind of a bane as well, because having that is quite a responsibility. It's a bittersweet thing, but I've got it, so I can't. It's there, so I have to live with that.
I'm fascinated by your response, Duncan. And so acting in its essential pure form, it's being. So I like that. It's actually non-acting in its actual form. It's being. And then through your software experience, you see how you and others, you kind of released the baggage, and that in one sense you weren't directly acting for quite some time. And then as you cleared whatever you want to call it, junk or weeds or that which is covering the pure self, that which is covering the clear mirror of the heart, as you cleared that, then your being was more and more manifest, and then you renewed and rejuvenated your desire to so-called act, because you revitalized your being. And I appreciate what you said about service, that as long as there's that desire for adoration or appreciation, then you're compromised in sharing your being. We've been speaking with Mr. Duncan Knowles from London, England, who's honored us with our presence today on the Sofitov Radio Show. Thank you for being here, Duncan, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Sofitov Radio Show, your station for self-realization.